We began a journey through the book of Joshua. We begin to settle into our theme for 2020, which is to go. And this book, man, this book is so rich, and there's so much in this book. And the more I study it, I'm like, this is amazing. And this is exactly where God would have New Life to be at this very time, to be learning from Him and to be following Him. And you know, this book is full of new beginnings. But it's also a book that shows us how to live courageously in a dangerous world, like we talked about last week. And because this world that we live in, it is a dangerous place. But here's the thing, the worst that can happen to us is that we can lose our lives. And if we're born again, it's really not too bad of a thing to happen, right? When we see it that way. Oftentimes we tie ourselves so tightly to this world that we don't want to lose it. We just can't fathom thinking about not being here to have our stuff and even the people that are around us. That's hard sometimes for us to get our minds wrapped around. But what we can hope and trust in and place our faith in is that this is not it, right? This is not the end. This is only the beginning. From the moment of salvation, man, that eternity began with Jesus Christ. What a blessing we have. What a new beginning that we get to experience when we give our life to Christ. And so Joshua has began his new leadership, his new responsibility to lead the people into the promised land. And it was his job, right, just for quick review from last week, it was his job to begin to communicate this mission, to begin, the children of Israel already knew, because for 40 years they'd been talking about this. Well, maybe one day we'll get to where we're supposed to be going, but for now, let's just wander around and aimlessly and waste all of our life. But now the time had come, and God had spoke to Joshua and said, Joshua, arise and go over the Jordan, you and all the people, and take them with you and lead them into the land in which I've promised. He had to communicate that. He had to make sure that people understood that. And we seen last week that he passed that word on to the officers, and the officers were tasked with the job of taking it and communicating it to the people, and so that the word would continue to travel throughout the land, and that so nobody was left behind. And he rallied the people. He rallied the troops to spread the word. And that's exactly what God is doing with New Life Baptist Church. He's rallying the troops, right? We can put all the beautiful creative signs and all of the stuff and create all of our events to be circled and focused on the word go, but if the troops aren't rallied, then just one or two people might go, or maybe no one will go, right? But so God has entrusted us to rally the troops, right? So we have to communicate that, right? It comes from God, and then it begins to trickle down throughout the body of Christ, and so that we all understand that the mission is to go. The mission is to take God's word, to take the gospel to the people, because it doesn't do any good to keep the seed in the barn, right? Exactly what the word says. What good is it going to do to keep it stored up, right? Farmers don't harvest their grain and keep it in the grain bins all year and be like, look at all the grain we've got, right? They would go broke. No, they take it from the grain bin, transport it to wherever they need to get it to, and sell it so that it can go and accomplish what it needs to do. And for us to keep God's word to ourselves and to just be this holy huddle on Sunday mornings and to just come and hear God's word and be like, ooh, I got it. And not to get it out, it doesn't do what it's accomplished or what it's created to do. It's created to change our lives, and it's created to change everyone else's lives. And God has entrusted us to take it to introduce people to it. So, man, if we're not good communicators, if we're not arising and going, then we won't. There are people that are going to die in the masses and go to hell. You know, this was not a suggestion from God, and we talked about that. The word suggestion and a command are two different things, and this command that God gave Joshua was to go. Get off your rump, get ready, come to attention, and go. In our text today, we're going to see that it was important for every single person to be on board, because it takes everyone, right? It takes the whole body of Christ, because we are all members in particular, and we all play different roles in the body. And if there's one person that's not on board, there's going to be a hole. You know what? Sometimes there are holes, right? And especially in a new church, there's a lot of holes, right? Until God develops people and trains people up and discipleship happens and things fall into place, there's a lot of holes that people need to try to stick their foot in to plug the hole, right? Or do whatever to make it happen. But that's not God's intention. God's intention is for us to all work together as one to accomplish His mission. And as we're going to see in our text today, there was some folks that it was very important for them to be on board. And it was very important for everyone to understand that everyone is important to the God's mission. Man, here's the thing. And this is something that I've struggled with my whole life, is being comfortable. I like to be comfortable, right? I like to have a nice chair at home to sit in to be comfortable. I like to keep my flesh comfortable sometimes, right? You know, I don't like to do things that make me feel uncomfortable. Maybe people strive off of being uncomfortable, which we should. But if you're comfortable with what you're doing and where you're at, then it's time to get out of that zone, right? That's what God is really showing me, is that, man, quit being comfortable. Quit hitting that easy button that we talked about last week, because there's too many of them. And we have too many easy buttons to make ourselves comfortable. We're not saved to sit and be comfortable. We're now children of God and we have a purpose. And the mission is right in front of us, right? If we'll just open our eyes or remember to put our glasses on, we can see it. In our text today, we're going to see in verses 12 through 15 in Joshua chapter 1. Let's read that together. And it says, "The Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and have given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan, but you shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. How long? Until the Lord giveth you your brethren rest, and he hath given as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord God, your God, giveth them. Then shall you return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of Jordan toward the sun rising." Let's pray. Father God, we pray today, God, that we would just be men and women of our word. And Father, that we would follow through. And God, that we would be... we would just be reliable people. Father, first and foremost to you. And God, when we say we're going to do something for you, that we would follow through and do it. And it wouldn't just be words that flow from our lips, but God, it would be from our heart and it would be our desire to serve you with our life. And Father, whatever that looks like in each of our lives, it's different. We know that, God. You have different plans for each and every one of us, but the mission is all the same. And so God, I pray today that we would all be on board. We would see how important it is for each and every one of us to see the vision, to follow through with what you have for us, and to see the result of that. So God, I just pray today you're glorified, magnified above every name, above everything, above whatever we can think of, God, that we place in front of you oftentimes. God, we would repent of that, and Father, that we would be prepared today to hear from you. So God, we just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, that word prepare, there's so much preparation that happens in our life. And has anybody ever done anything they weren't prepared for? It didn't turn out very well, right? Sometimes it's like a train wreck. It'd be like the band coming up here and be like, well, we're just going to wing this today, guys, not knowing what songs they're going to do or what key or whatever it is, and the sound guy not knowing what songs we're doing. And it would just be like, well, this is pretty unprepared, right? This would be like someone going to preach a message and not preparing, not having the word in them, but trying to preach God's word without it. It would just be a train wreck. There's so much preparation that goes into our lives that we don't understand how important that preparation is. And you know, the Bible tells us to be instant in season and out, right? That comes from preparation. That comes from preparing in God's word, right? We should be able to go and talk to somebody about God's word without saying, hang on, give me an hour so I can prepare something. No, we should be like, well, God has given me something. Let me give it to you, okay? I've prepared for this time. Joshua addresses these 2.5 tribes here, right? 2.5 tribes. And why are these so significant? Why did Joshua speak directly to them? And there's a few reasons, but one of the reasons is that they needed to understand that Joshua was now the new leader, right? Moses was dead. Joshua had been appointed by God to be the new leader. But they also needed to understand what God had told them, what God had told Joshua, right? It was important for them to understand that. They had to be on board with what was going to roll out. Okay, and some of us already know the story and know what's going to happen because we have God's word and we can read ahead, and that's cool. But, well, here's the thing. He had to go directly to them, right? He went to the officers and said, hey, listen, I command you to go and take this word to the people. And I'm going to go to these 2.5 tribes right here, and I'm going to make sure that they understand what they said they would do and make sure that they understand that the time is now that they're going to do it. You know, these tribes, they've already, so the children of Israel are waiting to cross the Jordan to get to the promised land, to get to the land that God had promised them. And these 2.5 tribes, they'd already received their land, okay? And we're going to see that in the text here in just a second. But they had already received it. And they had already settled. They had already began to establish their homesteads or whatever. And these tribes, man, it was important. But there was no incentive for them to follow through. They had already got their land, right? They had already received the promise. They had already got what they thought was theirs. So they could have said, see you later, I already got mine. Sorry, Charlie. Why would they be okay with leaving all that they had? Their families, their livestock, their homes. Why would they be okay with that? Joshua must persuade them to follow him, or Israel would be divided and the mission would be compromised. Okay, so if you turn with me, you can hold your place, but turn with me back to the book of Numbers, chapter 31. Numbers 31, verses 16 through 24. I think it's actually 32. Sorry. I'm not very good at typing. You know, sometimes I get fat fingers. So, and this week I almost was one less. So, okay. So in Numbers 32, verse 16, it says, and they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and the cities for our little ones. But we ourselves, here they say it. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place, and our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance has fallen on this side of Jordan eastward. And Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if you will do what you say, if you will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterwards ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. So it goes on in verse 22, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build your cities for your little ones and folds of your sheep, and do that which hath proceeded out of your mouth. So they make a deal. They're like, we really like this land, Moses. We really, this would be perfect for our families. This would be perfect to raise our livestock. This would be perfect to raise our children. This would be perfect for us. And if you will just let us have this land, we'll go when it's time to go. We'll go. We'll go to battle. So the deal was struck. Now here's the thing. They were like renters, okay? It was like a rent-to-own thing. I'm not really a fan of rent-to-own, right? Because I feel like they could just take it away from me, right? But until they followed through on their end of the deal, this wasn't truly their land. Though they were living there and they began to dwell there and they began to establish things there, until they followed through, It was still the Lord's. Obviously, it was the Lord's always, but he wasn't going to allow them to be your possession, right? Their possession. Think about the church. God has given us his word. He's given us his instruction. He's given us commands. And most of all, he's given us new life through a relationship with Jesus Christ. The problem is, with the air quote Christian world today, is that simply they're just okay with receiving salvation and then being done with God, right? I got my get out of hell free card, right? Because God gave away. It's free, cost me nothing. I just need to accept this by faith, right? I got that. I'm good. I got my golden ticket. But here's the thing. There's far more to it than that. Right? I'm not talking about salvation because, yes, salvation is free, right? It costs us nothing. We can't buy it. We can't earn it. It's done. Jesus Christ paid for that. And yes, by faith, placing our faith and trust in that, boom, it's done. We're sealed. Eternity in heaven awaits us, right? But so what do? We just go back to what we were doing? No. Christ died for us. He went to the grave with our sin, right? And then he shook them off and the grave was defeated. And the sins are no more. They're defeated. So why? Here's the question for us today, for Christians, air quote today, why is it okay, why is it okay to just continue living in the same state that you were before salvation? Because at salvation, you're made new, right? Behold, all things are become new. But I kind of like that stuff. Right? I don't want to go to hell, but I kind of like my lifestyle here on earth. And I'm kind of cool with that. Why do we continue in abusing the grace of God? Romans 6:2, right? God forbid. When I read that, those words like scream at me. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? But the Christian world's okay with that, right? And that's the problem. Being comfortable where we are and with what we are doing. We should not just desire to be Sunday churchgoers, right? That's the Christian world today. If you were to take a census or go door to door in Clinton and talk to all 9,008 people in Clinton, according to our sign at the city limits, and you were to talk to them, the majority of the people that you talk to would say, I am a Christian, right? I am a Christian. But if you were to go deeper than that and say, why are you a Christian? Well, I don't know, right? I just don't really know. Sunday churchgoers, man, what about Monday through Saturday? Blending in with the rest of us that are around us, right? We should desire to stand out. We should desire to be different because God has made us different. He's changed who we were, and we should desire to follow Jesus. Joshua pictures Christ for us in this book, and he was telling these tribes, you got to follow me, and you got to trust me as we go, and we go accomplish God's mission. Just as Jesus tells us, you're going to have to follow me, and you're going to have to trust me, because the road ahead is rocky, and there's a lot of potholes in it, and there's a lot of trials and tribulations that are coming down the road. But if you follow me and you trust me, you're in good hands. But that makes us uncomfortable. That gets us out of our bubble. The bubble never really made a whole lot of sense to me until the Cobra virus hit, right? And then everybody's got a bubble. Don't come in my bubble. Pop the bubble. We got to live, right? Okay, so let's get moving. And when we pop the bubble, okay, this causes change to take place in our lives. And we don't like change. We're good with the promise of eternal life that God has given us and that he will not take back. But there's so much more waiting for us if we're willing. So what if, okay, and we know, okay, so we know the story, okay, especially if you're familiar with the book of Joshua. But what if? What if these 2.5 tribes said, I'm sorry, Joshua, but we just made that up. We got what we wanted, right? We got the land, and we're kind of busy. Yeah, we're building fence, building houses, taking care of our kids. We're kind of busy, and we don't really have time to follow through on our side of the deal. Who would that affect? They needed to be men of their word. Just like today, if you and I are not willing to leave the comfort of this building or the comfort of our homes and go tell others of the promise that God has made, others will suffer and the mission will be compromised. If we're not willing to follow through, right? Jesus Christ told us, go preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, right? Get out of here and go tell somebody about it. Yes, he's speaking to his disciples, but hello, we are followers of him. We're learners of him. We're disciples. We need to listen or the mission will be compromised. Don't settle. Right? It would have been really easy for these tribes to just say, we're already settled. We settle, oftentimes. We settle for less. We settle for comfort. We settle for nothing more. We settle for habits. We settle for selfishness. We settle for someone else doing the work of the Lord. We settle. Why? Because it's easy. It's the easy button. I'm good with where I'm at. I'm good with what I'm doing for the Lord. I'm good with just doing nothing sometimes, right? I'm good. We settle. And it would have been easy for these tribes to just settle right where they're at, not leaving the land that was already given them, not leaving the loved ones behind. The mission trip in July, okay, is a great example for you guys and for me. Some of us have already settled. I ain't going, right? Have you asked the Lord? No, but I just know that I'm not going. I don't have any money. I don't have a passport. All excuses, right? I've been there. I've done that. I've bought that. And God says, did you even ask me? We settle for so much less. We settle because we plant our feet in daggum concrete and say, I can't go. Look, I'm locked up. My feet are in concrete. I can't move. Well, obviously, get the jackhammer out and break your feet loose. Because, man, there's opportunities right before us. And all we got to do is say, God, I will go if you want me to go. If you want me to go wherever it is, because we won't go to our neighbor because we'll make up an excuse, right? Well, you know, I don't want to interrupt them. They may be watching a TV show. It might be dinner time, right? Who knows what it is? It's just an excuse. And the more excuses we make, the easier it is to not go. This mission trip, I'm not saying that everybody at New Life will go, but everybody at New Life should struggle with the possibility of going. Everybody should struggle with the possibility, God might want me to go. And it should give you that feeling in your stomach like, I don't know. And here's the biggest excuse. Dinero, right? The money. I ain't got no money to go. Were you at the meeting? Did you see how much money it's going to cost? Well, here, God ain't broke. I'm just telling you that right now. And there might be somebody sitting right next to you today that says, I can't go, but I can help somebody else go. And there's a possibility of that happening. So excuses, right? There's no excuse for anything. We just need to be willing to go. And I just use Oaxaca as an example because it's fresh and we're going. Quit telling God something is impossible because you're settled right where you're at. In Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62, let me read this to you. Luke 9, 57 through 62. It says this. It says, and it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Get focused on what really matters. And another said, also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but first, man, there's some things I need to take care of, but let me first go bid farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ is right before us, but we have every excuse. I'll follow you when the time is right. I will go when the time is right for me, Jesus. Things just aren't really lined up at my home right now. Things are jacked up at my home right now. I'm going to miss my family. And Jesus is like, you are focused on the wrong thing. And he's told me that so many times. Quit worrying about this temporary stuff. Focus on the kingdom of God. Quit telling God, right? That's what we do. Delay, delay, delay. There's so many decisions that we make in this life that are not God's will. We may say it is. This is the problem. Is we may say, this is God's will. God, he made it very clear to me. He told me this is what I need to do. Whatever it is. But we have no proof. No proof in God's word that he ever spoke anything like that to us. We make moves, we change jobs, we do whatever it is, we pull the God card, right? But God actually never instructed us to do any of those things. Joshua goes on in our text in verse 13, and man, he says, remember the word. Remember. I need reminded all the time of all kinds of different things because I forget so many things. Remember what Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you? Remember what he said? And Joshua quoted Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 18 through 20. I don't have to read it because it's just, again, when Moses reminded the 2.5 tribes of this deal, of another command. You're going to need to follow through on what you said. Okay, you can go back and read that in Deuteronomy chapter 3. So the tribes had already given their word, right? They already said, if you will give us this land, we will do this. And then Moses reminds them later, hey, don't forget, because when this happens, you're going to need to follow through on what you're doing. So when Joshua again says, remember the word, remember what you said, remember what Moses reminded you of, remember what you're commanded to do, it wasn't something new to them. Remember the deal you made back in Numbers? How oftentimes do we need a good reminder? And how oftentimes do we ignore those reminders? The technology today, you can set reminders on your cell phones and on your watches and all these things, and they'll go off and you'll be like, ignore, right? I'm busy. That was a reminder, knucklehead. But we just ignore. That's what we do. We set reminders so that we can ignore them. Joshua was tasked with reminding them what they already knew. But maybe they had forgotten. Maybe they were comfortable right where they were. They had the land, they had settled there, and now they were reminded that they had, remember what you said, remember what's going on. And then quickly in verse 14, he reminds them, you're going to have to leave everyone else behind, okay? Your wives, your little ones, your cattle, all that stuff has to stay here as you go forward, right? As you go before the children of Israel, as you go into battle, all the stuff needs to stay behind. And that's something, man, that ought to hit us right in the heart, because oftentimes the stuff is what weighs us down. God just wants us to go and not worry about the stuff. Let me go pack my bag. Let me go get this stuff. Let me go get this. Let me go. And man, he just wants us to go. Maybe not uproot your family. Maybe not leave your family for an unforeseen amount of time, but maybe to just go a short trip down the street. To be obedient, to go and tell somebody the gospel. Be obedient so others will see that and desire to be obedient as well. The command versus the suggestion. God tells us to go, not suggest that we go. Two different things. And if we will remember that this is not our home, and that though we may reside in Clinton or whatever city that we reside in, this is not our home, okay? We say this is our home, but truly, if you're born again, this is not your home. We are not of this world. Jesus tells us in John chapter 17 that we are not of this world. He's not of this world. We are not of this world. This is just a temporary residence, okay? This is just where he has us for this moment, because there's a task, there's a mission that needs to be carried out, okay? We've been made new, and now we know exactly what to do. And if you look in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 through 9, Ephesians 2, 6 through 9. It says this. And you could read the whole chapter, but for sake of time, it says, "And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus," right now, if you're born again. "And this is the age to come, and he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus." And then, verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, as a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We need to understand that, man, he's already raised us up out of this place, okay? We're seated together in heavenly places. We're with him. So the 2.5 tribes, they'd made the deal, okay? They had made the deal. They'd given their word. They'd saw the land that was good to raise their cattle on, their livestock on, and to dwell there on the east side of Jordan. So the deal had been made. This is what we'll do. So we now see it's time for their side of the deal to come true. They needed to come through. They needed to be on board. They needed to be willing to leave everything behind and actually follow through. For these guys, they were going to have to leave everything. Okay, they had spent an unforeseen amount of time building their homesteads on the east side of Jordan, settling there, getting everything in order. And now Joshua goes and says, "Remember the word? Remember what you said? The time is now. So let's go. Let's get after it." But if you don't, it says that you've sinned against the Lord. And the famous quote, "And your sin will find you out." Your sin will find you out. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that in your life or not, but your sin will find you out. And that is a promise from the Lord, okay? We can't hide that. If you're in sin, God will bring it to the surface, okay? And it might not be now or 5 minutes from now, but it will come to the surface. And it's a lot easier if you'll just do it and repent of it. And thus, instead of God bringing it to the surface and saying, "Here it is." So they were faced with a choice. When they made the deal, they knew that if they didn't follow through, that they would be in blatant sin. Are we going to go against God's word, or are we just going to live in sin? Do we think about those ones that it will affect when we make these decisions? They had to be on board to follow through because others were counting on them. And verse 14 details exactly what will happen, like I said. And here's what's cool, is that we may write out a detailed plan of something that we're going to do, and then we might forget a few details. God never forgets the details. It's like word for word, right? This is what you're going to have to do. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle, they're going to remain here. You're going to battle. You're getting after it. God's word is amazing, okay? And then in verse 15, this is the hard part. "Until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and ye also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of Jordan towards the sun rising." So until the Lord give your brethren rest, as he hath given you, they were able to get their land, they were able to settle, they were able to rest, they had been wandering around, they were able to get established, and they had rested. The word rest is an interesting word, and the Bible is full of references, but just for a couple of them here, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, it says, "Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is like, you can't carry that, but I can. And if you'll quit carrying that, man, you're going to have some rest. In Genesis chapter 2, we know that on the seventh day, God rested, right? He gave us an example that, man, it's okay to rest. Even the Lord rested. In Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyselves because of him who possesseth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. We need to place our rest right where it belongs. And then one more, Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. We need to be still. We need to rest. The brethren, right? Children of Israel had yet to experience any kind of rest. If anything, it was unrest. It was crazy chaotic. It was just like, nobody knows what's going on. We just wander around. We just waste our lives away. And we know that we're supposed to cross the Jordan, but we just don't understand when and why or how. And now the wait is almost over. And they will, all they have to do is arise and go. And here's what we must notice in our text. There's no definite timeline in verse 15. Joshua tells these 2.5 tribes, you're going to go and you're going to be there. It doesn't say how many days, weeks, years, months. It doesn't say. It says, until the Lord given your brethren rest. There was no timeline. The battle may rage on forever. It may last the rest of their lives. They may have struck a deal that would backfire. And church, this is us. This is exactly how long the battle will last. Forever. Until we're gone out of this place. We're in a battle. We have to open our eyes to see this. Right? It might not be a bloody battlefield. We might not be going out slaughtering people. Hopefully we're not, right? And hopefully it doesn't come to that. But we're in a real war with a real enemy, and others are counting on us to go before them, okay? To go before them. To go before them. To pass in front of them. To share God's word with them. Other people are counting on that. Just like the children of Israel, they were counting on these 2.5 tribes to go before them. To go into battle, to help them fight, to conquer the land. We're just a small dot in the piece of the pie that, man, we're in a battle with so many other believers. But what if we don't engage? What if we don't engage? What if we're not willing to battle for the rest of our lives? You know, our bodies will rest when they're dead, right? We need to quit acting like we're dead now. That's the thing. The only thing that should be dead should be the sin, right? We should be getting after it. The sin should be, Jesus defeated the sin. So Joshua goes on to tell them, once the mission is completed, however long that might take, then they could go back and enjoy their possession. And you know what? You think, man, these guys were knotheads. When you first read this, if you just like stop at this passage, you're like, man, this is probably not going to turn out very well. These guys are knotheads. They made this deal with God to get this land early. But here's the thing. It was okay for them to look forward to being able to go back to the east side once they had upheld their end of the deal. But they had to be willing to fulfill their end first. They had to be willing to give it all up. Go into battle, maybe losing their life, never going back. And we need to ask ourselves, are we willing to be like these men? Are we willing to go out and just be a living sacrifice? And if you read ahead to the end of the chapter, right, then it's okay to read ahead because God's given us his word and we can do that. You're going to see that, man, they were obedient. They were willing to do what they had said they were going to do, which is crazy because that's not what people do, right? People don't follow through with what they say. They don't hold up their end of the bargain. Church, we need to be like those people. Our brothers and sisters need our help. The lost world needs our help. They need us to be there for them. They need us to speak truth. They need us to go before them and show them the way. They need us to maybe go out into a battle with them and link arms with them and defeat the enemy. He's a punk, okay? And we have God's word, and we can defeat the enemy. In fact, he's already been defeated, okay? So we allow him to think he's victorious when he's not. And we need to be willing to show the love of Jesus by showing the lost world the love of Jesus. We're the body of Christ, and we each play a very important role. We serve the living God, which should blow our minds, right? That in itself should be like, we serve the living God. God gives us the opportunity that we simply do not deserve, like being one of his servants, serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, we get to do that. That's such an amazing blessing if we choose to, if we are obedient. The 2.5 tribes could have chosen to be disobedient and ignore the deal they had made and remain in their land. They would have suffered. Their lives would have been miserable. And so many others would have as well. God has given us eternal life. The least we can do is tell others about that. Romans 12, right? Present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The least you can do. God, here I am. Use me. That's the least we can do. To be willing. Present your body as a living sacrifice for God. Following through on what you said, right? We make promises to God all the time that we cannot keep. God, if you'll do this, I will promise you I will do this. I'm never going to do it, but I promise you I'm going to do this. We do it all the time. God, if you'll heal this sick person, I will do whatever you ask, unless it's this one thing. That's just how we do it, okay? I've been there. I can speak it because I've lived it, okay? So we need to be men and women of our word. We tell God we're going to do something. You know what? He's going to call us on it. There's going to come a time when we got to give an answer for that. So what if we're not willing to rise up and go? What if we're not willing to learn and grow? What if we're not willing to lead others to go? We have to be on board. Don't be the missing link of a chain. Okay? So when I was growing up, my dad used log chains for everything. It was like, we need to do this. Go get a log chain. I'm like, yeah, a log chain has nothing to do with that. So my dad had log chains everywhere. And most of his log chains didn't have a hook on the end, right? Like, this is a worthless piece of junk, right? I can't hook this log chain to this log chain. Why? Because there's something missing, okay? But he wouldn't throw those things away. You know, you rusted up pile of thing in a milk carton. We had just had a pile of log chains that were worthless because they didn't have the right link on them. And if we would have went to Tractor Supply and bought a hook from Michael, right, the chain would have been useful again. And I never understood that, except for my dad just liked to collect stuff. Worthless stuff. And we don't want to be that worthless log chain, right? When God has given us right here everything that we need to be connected, right? So that we can link up with our brothers and sisters, we can hook on and be used to do whatever God wants us to do. Yeah, we can tie a log chain in a knot, but it never works out very well, right? It just turns into a big mess when we try to do it our way. But if we do it the correct way and we put the hook where it needs to go and we get hooked up, man, God's like, praise the Lord, we can get this accomplished now. I'm thankful that you're a part of the chain. We need to get attached and get ready. The battle's long, right? These guys had no idea how long this battle was going to take. And they had no idea some of the crazy, most lunatic ideas that they were going to have to do as they went, as we're going to begin to see, as the battles begin to unfold, of what they were going to do. And they would have been like, this is so weird. Why are we doing it this way? We are warriors, right? We don't need to march around a city for 7 days. We don't. What are we doing? We could have already went and conquered 4 more cities. But God's ways are not our ways. And God is always teaching. And these guys, man, I can't wait, right, just to see some obedience next week, because oftentimes we focus so much negativity on disobedience, disobedience, and disobedience. But what about those that say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow through, and I'm going to do it, God. I will do it. Can you imagine what he thinks? Man, he's just like, hallelujah, about time, right? About time. So the battle's long. No one knows when it'll end, but I pray that we all strive to serve the Lord with everything that we have left. And I pray that we're found faithful in all that we're doing on this side of paradise, on this side of the Jordan. I pray that we're just faithful to do what we are called to do and faithful to follow through on promises that we make, so that when we cross over, we hear, man, well done. Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Man, we forget that, right? We forget that if we'll just be obedient on this side, man, God's going to say, man, well done. He'll be the one patting us on the back instead of us trying to do it ourselves. Do we desire to hear that? Do you think that's what you would hear if today was your last day? If you could change something about today, what would it be? Maybe we need to repent and pursue after God with all that we have and follow through and be willing to say, God, I will follow through. I will do that. I will follow you no matter what, wherever, how crazy it is, I'll do it. I will love you and I will love people. Because if you won't, it's going to affect your neighbor. It's going to affect someone. It takes everyone to be on board for the mission to move forward. And we need to hop on board. And I just have a couple verses I want to wrap up with here today. You don't have to turn there if you want. I'm going to fly through them. But in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Pretty familiar verse to some. Some maybe not. So Romans 10, 14, it says this. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without you? Well, you need to write your name right there next to that word preacher. It's okay to write in your Bible. You need to write your name there. Because you're all preachers. We're all preachers. And people are waiting to hear God's word from your lips. He wants to do that through you. One more. There's a couple more, but I'll just give you one more. In Psalm chapter, or in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Actually, no, I want to go to Psalm 96:3. I want to go to all of them, but I'm sorry. Psalm 96:10. 96:3. I have you all confused. 96:3 says, for the Lord is a great God and a king above all gods. That is not the right one, but man, he is. 96:3 says, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people, right? We're around heathen all day, every day, most of us, right? What are we declaring to him? Are we declaring his glory? Let's pray.